Hey, this is the bonus stories for Cole Harrison's testimony. If you're new or don't really know how this works, sometimes, for reasons that I can't possibly explain here, we have to remove parts of the interview from the main episode. But instead of deleting them entirely, I post them here so you can listen to them and enjoy. The following is exactly that. They come from different parts of the interview, but they've sort of been rearranged into a conversation format. It's honestly very interesting, so I'll just step out of the way now and let you listen to what else Cole had to share. And in terms of chaos magic, or even just the more general like music manipulation, can that be used over the masses? So I'm curious, because this kind of like chaos drumming, right? You don't hear that on the radio. But is it possible to do like versions of that and put it in music? Because apart from the typical, you know, putting lyrics in there that people might not realize, because I know that there's definitely some amount of that. You put lyrics in there and people like just naturally you start to become desensitized to the things that are being said. So I understand this part of like manipulation through music, but it's through words more so than the music itself. So when we talk about the rhythms and that kind of stuff and this chaos magic music manipulation, would it be possible for a song on the radio to have some of that?
You know, it's hard to explain this, and maybe someone in the audience might relate to this, but once you go into some of these places, these dimensions, your perception changes a lot. And once you experience a really dark dimensions like this, then music changes. Like, it's almost like you can see through the veil is lifted, and the music that you used to think, oh, it's just a song, like all of a sudden sounds really dark and eerie and weird. And you're like, whoa, that sounds so different. You know, like here's an, like this world has so much evil in it. And we're so desensitized to evil that our level, our standard of what we think is normal is really like low. Our perception of what good is pretty distorted. So when people are making music without having a pure heart about it, I mean, what sounds normal, I think if you were to go into a dimension, a world without any evil, would sound evil, if that makes sense. So that's kind of a strange way to put it. But I think you could do... I think your question, is it used? I don't think what we were doing is used much, but I don't think it's necessary. I think that there's different types of control through music. So you've got your basic governments. The governments want a population to be easily managed, controlled. So there's great pop music for that. That works fantastic. There's the there's all the stuff that keeps you on a very shallow surface level. And then you've got, you know, this the Bible talks about, and I didn't believe this stuff, but I do now, that the whole world is under the sway of the evil one, or Lucifer, and all these dark entities. And so the kingdoms of this world are controlled by evil entities. And, you know, if your viewers, I'm sure most of them, or some of them are, they should be, when you talk about the royal bloodlines, satanic ritual abuse that goes into all these families, there's when you get high up there, there's some weird stuff that goes on. Beyond Freemasonry, beyond it's and so the music industry, like Hollywood, is full of Luciferians, people who are outright Satan worshiping people, they're going to be, it's right in your face now. You've got who's that artist? Oh man, there's all these popular girl bands, all this stuff, and they're totally satanic. Their lyrics are horrendous, but even Christian parents are like, oh, these are great, you know. And that comes because they're so blinded by what they think is normal, and they don't look into things. But yeah, so I mean, there's there is a satanic message that's in music now that's way obvious if you look for it and you can see it. And how that controls people, I think it makes you more controllable. Like when you go away from the moral law, like the natural law, and you go away from the spiritual, you will always be more easily controlled, because you're just more like a child who's addicted to the things of this world, you know, and people who are addicted to things of this world are more easily controlled than someone who has a noble spirit, who's willing to give their life for something that's higher than themselves, and who have ideas that are that challenge the status quo and all that stuff. So, yeah. You know, I wanted to comment, just a side comment. You talked about music in the popular culture being used. We did experience one time, which I think was technological and not spiritual, but we were in San Francisco. We were at this outdoor thing that was happening that had DJ music and like this kind of psychedelic trance music going on. But all the people around me, my best friend was there. It felt like physically we were being pushed to the ground, and all of us ended up, most everybody was just like on the ground, and it was like you couldn't move. And we were like, whoa, what is this? This is so crazy. But that was interesting. I don't know if the audience has ever experienced that. I've never experienced that since. I believe it was some sort of something in the frequency that they were putting to manipulate people. That was very strange. It wasn't like a spiritual thing. It was just out in the open, and that was very strange. So I don't know if that's, you know, I do believe that, there's technology that we don't know about that's being, like when you watch television, your mind goes into alpha state. I mean, it's completely, you become open to everything that you're being fed. So music, I'm sure, like, I just get creeped out when I hear the radio. There's a frequency about it that icks me, you know? And so I don't listen to any of that. Television, I can't watch. There's a frequency that really bothers me. So anyway, that was, I just wanted to talk about that. It's kind of interesting. And how we ended up in Oregon. So I was in San Francisco. We had this trio I was just talking about, this woman and this other young man. I finally left them in San Francisco. We were on the streets. So I was on the streets for a while. We would end up, there was a Hare Krishna temple that we would go to, and they would feed you free and stuff. And I remember I would try to, at the temples, they would do, you'd have to sit through a service and then they'd feed you. And that, during the service, they'd open the curtains and they had the little statues, and everyone would bow down, and this frenzy of excitement and music would play. But I would intentionally try to, meditate and go into the rhythms, because they would have these drum music things happening, and I would try intentionally to mess the rhythms up. I was such in a deviant state, and I was like practicing this kind of new power, I guess, if you will, because I felt like I'd gained, ever since the cellar thing, I'd gained these kind of powers, magical abilities or whatever, and it would work. I mean, it literally would just come to a crease, you know, stop, and then I would kind of snicker. But
what did it feel like to enter these dark realms?
If people are going into a spiritual, like their intention is the spiritual, like say, imagine you have like maybe a new ager, someone who's into Buddhism or Hinduism and that kind of like mix of things. They'd go to a yoga retreat, and the whole idea is to have peace, to have a centered being. And so that's, you have all these people who are there and maybe you probably feel loved by and accepted by these people, and there's this sweetness and all that kind of thing. That's a draw for some people. But when you go in the same group and you're taking drugs and the whole intent is to go like into a dark realm with like that's terrifying and intense, that's really unnerving, you know. It's hard to explain. And so the pressure was to embrace these realms, and because in magic, when you're going into dark places with a group of people, especially on psychedelics, especially, there's this psychic connection that happens where you're exposed to the group. And so it's almost like a gang initiation, you know, when now you have to kill this person to be a part of us. Like if you start backpedaling from that could be dangerous, right? And that's wicked. That's very wicked. I mean, so in when you go into really dark realms magically with people, and you start to backpedal, like I don't feel safe here. This is scaring me. I don't know if I want this. Everybody will know it. And in where I was at, you know, that would be met with like mockery or, you know, kind of ridicule. You know, I talk about a lot of, maybe the viewers know, have experienced this, especially if you're a tripper or you've been to like, you know, parties with acid and stuff. There's sometimes where you could just be hanging out and all of a sudden, like it seems like that a demonic presence starts speaking through your friends at you and starts saying things that only like nobody knows. Very strange experiences like that. Be interesting if anyone in the audience has had that, please, you know, write that comment down. But, it is a thing. It's a common thing where like, and so, yeah, so we experience that kind of thing going into some of this magic, these dimensions. And so that's kind of a long-winded answer, but I don't know if that even makes sense. But
you talked about drum circles, and I know that that's like a big thing. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about it, but, you know, in different religions in Africa and tribes and all kind of throughout the world, there's drumming and they kind of gather in a circle to drum and dance. And I don't know necessarily why that's so common. So I wanted to ask you, like, what's the purpose of all that? Why do they do it? Why is it so common across the world?
Well, I think since humans have been on the earth, I'm sure there's been some sort of drum circle, drum playing. You know, there's the ancient music of the Middle East, and they've got strings. I mean, we didn't have the sound equipment that we have now. And so music has been such an integral part of culture and society. And I mean, from every single tribe, every single continent, every single people, they have their music, and which is amazing. I love music. And so drumming and just free jamming. I mean, think about the social gatherings of old were most likely dances where the people come together and they dance and they play, you know, whether it be Irish music and they're just jamming out and doing folk dances, or of course, you know, you do start getting into the weird stuff in Haiti and different, you know, Voodoo. So that's kind of, I would definitely, that's a different category. So we're kind of going, they took music into the witchcraft area where they're channeling entities and getting possessed and different stuff like that, which was a social thing, I guess, as well. But so yeah, drumming is what's really cool about drumming. I love hand drums. I love hand drumming. What's really beautiful about, like, I think the thing that's good about drumming together is that there is, you become connected with the people around you, and the rhythms create this beautiful kaleidoscope, like a tapestry that all depends on each other. So it's everyone's responsible for contributing their gift, right? And it all is a symphony, and it makes this just beautiful, complicated, beautiful rhythm, which is really neat. But so that's, I think they're drawn to that, and also just the probably the newer hippie, neo hippie, where they're sick of technology, just getting out. I mean, there's something about sitting next to a campfire at night under the stars. I mean, there's nothing like it. It's very beautiful.